American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And a good day to you. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Wednesday, the hump day, January 5, 2005. My wife, the lovely and noble dark one, tells me I need to slow down. Now, this is not new for me. Of course, a lot of people tell me I need to slow down, and I hear that I need to slow down often. Quite often when you're me, you know, and you're trying to express things to people, they go, "Hey, Sean, you're freaking me out. You need to slow down a bit." Okay, well, you know, and generally I don't listen to them because they're all, you know, the sane, and we don't like to talk to the sane too much because, as we all know, the sane are actually the people who are really, really messed up. But when my lovely and noble wife tells me I need to slow down a little bit, "It's the news, Sean," she says. "It's the news, and you don't need to be screaming all the time. You're going to explode." And also, I noticed that in the forums, people were saying that, you know, "I hope Sean doesn't burn out. I hope Sean doesn't burn out with all his news and everything." And, of course, everyone's got a point. I mean, I'm going to be doing this 5 days a week, probably for the rest of my life, because I like it, too. And I'm thinking that It's my little piece that I can contribute to the puzzle. So not to worry. I will slow it down a little bit and put a little bit more me into the news. I was listening to yesterday's news report, and I was thinking, geez, you know, that's a little bit like people reading, you know, just kind of somebody reading stuff off of pages. And I like to put more me into it so you get my take on the whole thing, because I think that's probably what you're about. If you'd like to tell me what you think of the show, you can get a hold of me at Newsreel. That's Newsreal. At rantradio.com, and we'll be able to go from there. Now, Sim, in his overlord glory, has come to me like a great, masterful titan and said, "You must post your news links on your LiveJournal." Now, me? I don't agree with that. I don't think I should have to post my links on the LiveJournal, and I told him as much the minute he said so. And he said, "Do it. Do it now." And I said, "Okay, fine." So it seems that if you want to get a hold of any of the news links from the stories I'm doing today, you should check today on my LiveJournal, which... you know, search LiveJournal for Sean Kennedy, you'll find me. My journal's called I Free Slaves for obvious reasons. Starting out, I want to start a new thing to put on the show, so it's not just new. But I had an idea for something I want to do like this for a while. Anyone who's been listening for a long time will hear and know what I'm talking about, is an advice thing. Now, Sim wants me to read an email, but quite often I get so much email. I mean, how do I choose which emails to read, and then you offend people and all the rest of it? So what I wanted to do is start an advice column on the show, and I wanted to do it. I wanted to call it Sort Yourself Out, which, of course, it's not that I just wanted to call it. I'm going to call it Sort Yourself Out because it's my show. Red. So Sort Yourself Out is going to be my new advice portion of Newsreel. So if you've got something you want advice on, do not write me a book. Now, I get large emails from people, and that's fine. I don't mind large emails. That's okay. It's just that, well, sometimes they're a little bit long, and, you know, it's upsetting when people write me and they give me, you know, like, oh, I don't know, like a 10,000-word email, and I write back, "Gee, thanks a lot. Glad you liked the show. Bye." You know, it feels like I'm ripping these people off, so I can't really, you know, send large emails back to people because, you know, I've only got so much time. I've got to do research. I've got to find news, and I still have to, you know, work a full-time job and all the rest of it. Hopefully not for too long if we can keep the donations coming, but... in the meantime, in between time, I've got to maintain balance. So sorry if you write me big emails that I can't write you a big email back. But back to Sort Yourself Out. If rather than writing me a huge story about your life and all the rest of it, just give me a paragraph or so. Just give me, like, what you got real quick, you know, who you are. So, because I'm going to read the whole paragraph on the air, so don't put anything too personal in there. Use your alias. Don't use, you know, any real names. We want to keep security of what it is while we can, especially in today's, you know, draconian George Orwellian world we got going on with all the Patriot Acts 1 through 7, you know, whatever else they're going to come up with in the sequel, since the first two are no doubt going to be such a great big hit. So make it a short paragraph. Tell me about yourself. Tell me what your problem is, and ask for my advice, and I will dispense my advice on the show. So I'm thinking that'd probably be a cool thing to do. Moving right into the news, it seems that it's not all bad news today. We do, in fact, have a winner. it's important to understand that my show isn't a paranoia show. Mine is a news show. So I want to, you know, touch on pertinent information that is good news as well as all the scary crap, because believe you me, I don't have to work to get the scary crap. I now have to work to get the good news. And it seems that, as you are probably aware, and I don't, this is a little bit too mainstream for me to usually touch, but, you know, we take the wins when we can get them here. The Digital Millennium Copyright Act District Court erred in issuing subpoenas on internet providers to obtain personal information about the provider's subscribers who are alleged to be transmitting copyrighted works via the internet through peer-to-peer programs. Now, we all know that, now this is from one of the judges, what do they call these things? You know, those things that judges do, the judge note things, whatever articles that they do. You can link to it off my live journal. But anyway, what he goes on to say here is the internet provider's function was limited to an acting as a conduct for allegedly copyrighted material, section 512, blah, 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 blah. But anyway, a judge has come forward and he said that internet service providers do not need to provide the their list of subscribers to, you know, the great evils of any corporations that come up to them, including the entertainment corporations. So that's very, very good. That's a good thing. We need to hold on to that. The web can remain free for now, but we must remain diligent. Diligence is the key in this kind of a thing. We have to follow this. I didn't even know this was happening, which is upsetting. But bear in mind, I've only been logging back onto the world for the last, 3 weeks or so. So, you know, cut me some slack there. But it's good to know that there are, in fact, good judges out there. I don't want to paint the picture to seem like, oh, the world is lost. No, the world is not lost. If the world was totally lost and everything was, you know, just two steps away from George A. Romero, I would be not speaking into a microphone right now. I would be, cleaning guns, quite probably. So I think there is a chance we can win this. You mustn't give way to paranoia. You mustn't give way to, you know, the desperation of our times. We have to remain, with a clear and purposeful mind into what we're trying to do. And what we're trying to do is hang on to our liberties, to hang on to our privacies, and to hang on to our power of choice, which, of course, is most usually expressed through money and how we spend our money. But, you know, that's a whole concept for another discussion. Now, today is truly fortunate because not only did I have one piece of good news with, you know, the defeating of the MPAA and the RIAA and all the other, you know, AAs we can get our hands on. Not only do I have that piece of good news, I also have two pieces of good news. Oh, my God. What does it mean? Californians have entered the new year with the assurance their cell phone numbers cannot be automatically added to the 411 database. Boy, this is good news. This sounds like it was, I hate to, like, you know, bring that up. Maybe I shouldn't put this as good news. The absence of bad news isn't really good news, but I suppose this is kind of good news. The ability to sue spammers and the comfort of knowing rental car companies cannot track their travels, thanks to state privacy laws that went into effect January 1. Well, this is great, but that just means to me that all the other states, however many there are, if you include Canada, are just going to have these laws, and that means that they're going to track travels of rental cars, and cell phone numbers are going to wind up in the 411 database. That means that those of us who are, you know, being persecuted by, you know, whatever credit agencies or whatever, are going to wind up getting our numbers foretold to the world. A way you can get around that, of course, is to have some kind of a company phone where your company's records are not made public and so on and so forth. That's something that people may wish to try to do to avoid that. But, you know, they say that those outside California's borders may benefit as well. California laws often have effects beyond the state's borders, since companies often find it easier to adapt all of their operations to comply with the Golden State Standard, which, of course, is California. State legislators prohibited cell phone providers from adding a customer's wireless numbers to a centralized directory unless the company has written permission. I like that one. Written permission. Now, that's I wonder if email counts as that, or I wonder if that has to be handwritten. You know, what's written actually mean? But anyway, in part to protect people from paying for calls on their cell phones that they do not want, which, you know, anyone from back in the day, if you wanted to mess with people who had text messaging, they had some web-based ones. And, of course, people were charged when they received some text messages, which is, you know, kind of interesting. So for a while there, you could set up a script and, you know, bomb the snot out of someone and drive their cell phone bill up to like $200,000. But landline phone companies, however, often charge individuals who want an unlisted number. So That's the great barrier we've had up until recently on how to keep our privacy that way. It's I suppose it's a good thing that they're going to be keeping it. Some people might argue that, oh, well, how am I going to get a hold of my buddy? Because we've all had the friend who we've lost a cell phone number to, and we're like, ah, I wish I could 411 this. But I think it's going to be necessary. It's a necessary evil. I think we have to keep that. As a matter of fact, I don't think there should be many databases for people whatsoever. I definitely don't think they should be, you know, creating this one unifying database, which is, if you do any research on the web for that, that's some scary stuff. Anybody out there involved with that, with the whole unified database theory, I'd like to hear about that. If any listeners want to drop me an email, I'd like to know what's going on there. Now, here is a kind of a weird story, which is understandable but not. I love how the media is spinning this kind of stuff. Use a laser pointer and go to jail. Federal authorities Tuesday used the Patriot Act to charge a man with pointing a laser beam at an airplane overhead and temporarily blinding the pilot and co-pilot. Okay, now, I've got so many problems with this story, it's hard for me to know where to begin. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to read the story to you. The FBI acknowledged the incident had no connection to terrorism. The FBI acknowledged the incident had no connection to terrorism, but called David Benash's actions foolhardy and negligent. Benash, who's 38, of Parsippany, New Jersey, admitted to federal agents that he pointed a light beam at a jet and a helicopter over his home near Teterboro Airport last week. Authorities said initially he claimed his daughter aimed the device at the helicopter. Now, let me get through this. He is the first person arrested after a rash of reports around the nation of laser beams hitting airplanes. Benash was charged in connection with the jet, so they spared him on the helicopter. He was accused of interfering with the operation of mass transportation vehicle and making false statements to the FBI, and was released on $100,000 bail. He could get up to 25 years in prison and fines up to $500,000. Benash's lawyer, Gina Mandola Longero, said her client was simply using the handheld device to look at stars with his daughter on the family's deck, she said. And Benash bought the device on the internet for $100 for his job testing fiber optic cable. He wasn't trying to harm any person or any aircraft or anything like that, she said. The jet, chartered Cessna Citation, was coming in for a landing last Wednesday with six people aboard when a green light beam struck the windshield three times at about 3,000 feet, according to court documents. The flash temporarily blinded the pilot and co-pilot, but they were able to land the plane safely, authorities said. Now, I would really wonder if there is a guy named Benash, because this whole story is extremely weird. For starters, I'd like to know how they were able, from 3,000 feet, to tell what house this guy's laser beam came from. Because this isn't like, you know, this isn't like the guy's firing, you know, heavy photon cannons out of his backyard here. He's using some kind of a laser pointer that's $100 worth of laser pointer. Okay, now $100 worth of laser pointer doesn't get you that much. But apparently, a plane at 3,000 feet could find this guy on the ground. Then he's arrested. So you know what happens here. Two authorities show up at his door. Hi, we're from the FBI. Were you shining lasers around in the sky the other night? Oh, my daughter was. Yeah, she shines that laser around sometimes. Ah, we've got our man. And then, of course, he's going to say, no, okay, I was out on the deck. It was me. Don't take my children away from me. And the hilarity ensues, Gestapo style. Now, that is one possibility, which, of course, is absolutely hideous. That, I'd like to really know whether or not a laser pointer, a $100 laser pointer, really qualifies as interfering with the operation of a mass transportation vehicle. I mean, there's six people in there, for one. Does that even qualify as a mass transportation vehicle or what? But how did they find that? Where is this guy now? And he's using a laser for testing his fiber optic cable. Okay, that's fine. But am I the only one who seems to think this story sounds a little bit weird? And apparently there's a rash of all these laser pointing. So, well, it's not like these lasers hurt. Okay, how do the planes tell? Are you telling me that there's been a rash of pilots saying that laser beams are striking them in their cockpits? Is this just a scare story to get people to not point lasers at airplanes? I don't know. I don't think this guy's going to get heavily charged. I don't know what's going to happen with this guy. I hope he doesn't get 25 years in jail. If he does, I'd like to write him a letter, because I think, you know, using a laser pointer in the backyard of your house is probably a little bit psycho. Further to that, it doesn't really say if this was happening in the daytime or in the nighttime. So I guess if he was trying to look at stars, like his lawyer's saying, I would assume that that means this is at night. So that means that the pilots were able to target his house from 3,000 feet away while moving in an airplane, and let's not forget, by their own testimony, they were temporarily blinded. Anybody else having problems with this story? Yeah. But this is the kind of thing you've got to watch for in the media. Maybe this is true, maybe it's not. I'd like to get some more information on this and find out just what's really going on here, because that's very, very odd. The whole story smacks of, well, evil on one side and evil on the other. And speaking of evil on the other side, let's zip over to England real quick and check out what's going on over there. A great country where they're now saying, "Oi, where's your papers?" The national ID card is gaining ground in Britain. That's a big shocker. You know, those of you listening right now who have not seen the films Gattaca and Fortress, go get them right now. I'm serious, right now, go get them. Like, you can buy them online, do something. Just Gattaca and Fortress. You guys have to see those films, because that's what England's like right now. If you and I were to go to England, that's what England looks like. Well, maybe not quite so bad, but they've got cameras everywhere, and there are no rights for their citizens, so on and so forth. So it's no real big shocker that the, just like, you know, the Swedes are going ahead with the whole idea for national ID cards and all the rest, and now the Brits are getting on board. The British government's quest to institute a national identity card faces a critical phase in the next few weeks, as legislation will be scrutinized and amended in committee at the House of Commons before going to the House of Lords to undergo the same process there. So they're going to really scrutinize this identity card bill, which of course is absolutely a hideous idea. The identity cards bill passed its second reading with a vote of 385-93. Well, it seems like all the uppity-up judge types seems to think it's a good idea. That vote went through on December 20th. The cards are intended to begin rolling out in 2008. Rapidly afraid of the terrorists, I see. And Tony Blair's Labour government estimates the cost at £3 billion. $5.7 billion. Though the opponents believe that it will cost twice as much. Holy crap. So the critics saying that it's going to cost $10 billion to... £10 billion. Okay, which is about $20 billion to give everyone in England identity cards. That's a little psycho, don't you think? Anyway, the heart of the identity cards bill is the creation of a national database to contain 51 categories of detailed information on every British citizen and resident, including fingerprints and iris scan. 51 different categories. Okay, so what else is there? You're going to have your name, address, you know, your phone number, shoe size, weight, identifying features. I mean, if I try, you could go down the normal ones. Then what else is going to be in that 51 category? Are we talking about your library books, what you read, how much your bank account is, what your credit rating? Yeah, your credit rating would be on there too, right? What else? Your eating habits, maybe allergies, if you got any allergies, medication you're on, mandatory medication. How much do you want to bet that's going to be? Try to think of 51 categories of information. I'm a gamer, and I have a hard time cooking up 51 categories of information, even if we are playing Middle Earth. Yeah, even Rollmaster, I don't think, has 51 categories of detailed information on their characters. 51 categories. Now, you know that's all going to be digitized on a magnetic strip, or they're going to have some sort of a probably visual encryption thing going on, or maybe they'll just have, you know, some sort of a make it really magnetic, like a bank card, you know, so they have a reader that you swipe the card and there's all the information. That sounds like, because I can't see handing out just regular paper cards costing $20 billion. That's billion with a B, man. Like, 51 categories, 20 billion. This sounds like this ID card they're putting together is a pretty scary piece of kit. And what else we got here? The bill calls for a £25,000, which is $4,760 fine. So let's cut the crap. $5,000 fine for refusing to register for the card. So not only do you have to have this card, you get fined if you don't get it, and a £1,000 fine for failing to inform the government of changes in personal information. You get married, there's a $1,000 fine. Or, pardon me, that's £1,000. So that's a $2,000 fine for failing to inform the government of personal changes. This is the most draconian thing I think I've come across today. Holy crap. So, you know, the nice, I wonder if that would apply to everyone in the Commonwealth, or would that just be, you know, because I'm thinking of, you know, these little Irish villages. I mean, I've never been to Ireland. Well, I was in England twice. I got deported. They got me for vagrancy. It was the most polite fuck you I've ever had. But in honesty, I can't see, you know, some of these people. I mean, there's got to be some English countryside left, right? There's got to be guys like, you know, Tom Baker living in his church out there. He's not going to want to show up to get a national ID card. There's a lot of old school guys out there that are going to be like, whatever, okay? You know, you can just cram that. Don't just call that bollocks and say whatever. But at like a $5,000 fine for refusing to line up and get in line for the card, like, holy cow, man. Not only that, that whole process of handing out those cards and taking in all that data, what a great opportunity to make sure you can collect all the undesirable types, you know, and, you know, maybe people who are not guilty crimes, they get caught in a machine, and one day a bunch of people show up. I mean, this there's nothing good that can come of this. I'm sure that, I don't care how freaked out you are about terrorism, I can't see this being, anyone going for this. How can they possibly be selling this? You know, I imagine, you know, we're probably going to see a great deal of freedom-minded English people leaving Britain before 2008. But keep your eyes on that one. If there was anything we could do to stop that, I would. But I don't know if there's anything we can do to stop that. I mean, we're talking about a country here, England, who's declared war on more countries than any other country in the history of the world. But again, too, the United States is stepping up to the plate on that one. You can't really go there. Recent polls, now this is in England, recent polls suggest as much as 80% of the population is in favor of these cards. 80% of the population is in favor of these cards. Spock, are you serious? 80% of England thinks this is a good idea? Wow, I don't want to meet the Brit spin doctors they got over there, because I guarantee you they hang from the ceiling and drink blood. Such as the opponents, such as the No to ID campaign, who obviously have a clue, believe that the sentiment will shift quickly once people realize how much they will have to pay to have the cards and what the consequences will be. Okay, well, as far as I understand it, you know, the British are pretty smart people. I can't really see them, like, how are they selling this ID card over there? Because I'm looking at, you know, just this one little article, and they say there's 51 categories of personal information on this card, and I'm going, no, that's ridiculous. Also opposing ID cards are organizations such as Liberty, the United Kingdom's equivalent to the American Civil Liberties Union, and the Legal Rights and the Human Rights Organization Justice and Privacy International. And, you know, just a shot in the dark here, but I'd probably say that everybody else would be opposed to this idea too, because it sounds absolutely horrible. And you can bank. Isn't it funny how over here that in North America, we haven't heard anything about, you know, not much is really floating around in the news about an ID card scam. I wonder if there's anything happening with that. A nice ID database that'll, you know, tie into the master database. Of course, we have Silicon Valley, and we're, you know, the pioneers in the whole, you know, software thing. So no doubt this is all going to be happening very digitally. And maybe people don't even need to know. They can just tie all this data to your driver's license. You know, you get pulled over, the cops swap your driver's license, and automatically, you know, that's all set up just to slick a snot on a doorknob to log you into this massive database which has all of your information. Stash, guns, fake ID, and money. So when you look at that now, and of course, we've got all the software, but there's one thing that this next news story I'm going to get into here, this one here is something that, you know, I'm gonna go all get on my soapbox here, because that's, you know, kind of what I do anyway, and that's, you know, why you showed up, and I want to give you your money's worth. Now, me and Smokehouse got into it the other day. We kind of went toe-to-toe over the election in the United States, and I haven't really voiced my opinion on the election in the United States, and I think that the election in the United States was a good idea, and you should really have one. I think an election would be a good thing in the United States, because what you just had down there was not an election. As a Canadian viewing this whole thing, I gotta tell you, you were completely duped. I can't possibly believe that you guys think for a moment that George Bush made it into office. And I refuse to believe that there are that many stupid Americans. There is never before in the history of the world has there been a leader that has had this level of technology, this amount of information about him, and as much of a campaign to expose this guy. I mean, whether or not you agree with Michael Moore and Fair 9/11 and all that kind of jazz, whether or not you agree with that, you got to admit that that's a pretty big slam against this guy. I mean, there's been presidents who've had, you know, bad rumors about them and they lost this election. And here's a guy spending, you know, millions and millions of dollars to try to make this, you know, to get this guy out of office. And yet he still makes it in there. I would really defy you to show me another guy who's had this much effort put against him getting into office. Yet he gets in there. Now, further to this, you've got the son of the former president. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, if we were to look purely at democracy, you know, as it was intended by the founding fathers of the United States and the way the democratic election process is supposed to work, wasn't the whole idea, because you got to bear in mind that, you know, George and all those guys, they came over here trying to escape the tyranny of England, right? You know, they're the guys who are now completely raping their people with the national ID card. Yeah, those guys. Now, you would think that when they came over here, they would... The whole point of avoiding the English system was to avoid a monarchy or a family-run, you know, sort of terror state as what they were dealing with. But now we have the son of the previous president is president. Is that actually possible? Like, what are the odds on that if we were to go with the original intent of how the election was run? But never mind that. Sure, okay, so the guy's kid made it in. You know, all right, whatever. We have the ex-head of the CIA who made president. No, his kid is made president. Okay, whatever. That's a little dodgy, but I'll float that. I'll suspend disbelief for 10 seconds. But then, you know, the guy gets in and he makes just a complete horror show of everything. And now you've got everybody... in the world just raging against this guy. There's show me another president that was protested as much as this guy was. Show me another president that has been protested by Americans as much as this guy is. You know, how is it conceivably possible that this guy made it into office? And I've got three words for you, baby. Black box voting, electronic voting. A hideously bad idea that leaves no paper trail whatsoever. In case you don't know anything about this, some, you know, mastermind who, you know, was imbued by the powers of darkness came up with the concept of black box voting, where instead of, you know, having that horribly outdated, you know, paper trail and signing papers and ballots and all that sort of stuff, even though, you know, you can screw that up a lot with this little cup and ball gag they did with the last election, you know, where they, you know, some check marks mean this, and if you check the wrong box and, you know, who'd you vote for and all the rest of it, never mind any of that stuff. When now they're going to do it all through this, you know, digital interface, and there's no tracking. So if I get a counter and say that this many people got votes, then they got the votes, and there's no real way to track that. And no one, isn't it funny that even though that could be considered, oh, that's paranoid. Yeah, but why isn't anybody else saying it? Why isn't anyone reporting on this whatsoever? The media hasn't talked about black box voting at all. Nobody knows about why there's so much concern about these boxes. When you're dealing with something as the leadership of the most powerful nation in the world, don't you think that we should have some pretty good checks and balances in place just to make sure the election even, you know, works? Never mind, you know, the smear campaign run by guys who are distant cousins and are part of the same secret society. Never mind that. Shouldn't we be focusing on how the election actually works? But now, even the New York Times, albeit it, you know, they're doing it very disparagingly. They're saying, oh, yeah, you know, whatever, you know, black box voting, what a conspiracy theory. How kooky are these guys? They think that some secret society could be, you know, behind the presidency of the United States. Well, what morons, you know, have another beer, watch some WWF. Well, the New York Times, this is a quote from the New York Times. The email messages and web postings all had twitchy cloak and dagger thrust of a Hollywood blockbuster. No, not really. It's more like a Hollywood terror film. But anyway, evidence mounts that the vote may have been hacked, trumpeted a headline on the website commondreams.org. Fraud took place in the 2004 election through the electronic voting machines, declared blackboxvoting.org. In the space of 7 days, an online market of dark ideas surrounding last week's presidential election took root and multiplied. But while the widely read universe of weblogs was often blamed for the swift propagation of faulty analysis of the blogosphere, as it has come to be known, spreads the rumors so fast that experts were soon to debunk them rather than allowing them to linger and feed conspiracy theories. So let me get this straight. The blogosphere, I guess we're all watching each other's blogs. We don't actually look at the news anymore. And further to that, none of us have brains. We all just, you know, go with what everybody else thinks. Nice try. Try harder. D-. The New York Times makes no mention of blackboxvoting.org. Like, oh, black box voting, they're crazy. They don't talk about how they're doing a freedom of information effort to get an investigation underway, an investigation that the mass media should be conducting on the public's behalf, not on the blog's behalf. As highlighted on August 27, 2002, underreported.com story, court opens deportation hearing in Sixth Court Circuit, expound upon the role of media in democracy by quoting past court cases. Now, you got to understand that your elections in the United States are important, okay? I don't know why there's not more attention on the actual process of election. Never mind what the candidates are saying, but I never saw anything. I have no idea how the votes are tallied. Do you know how the votes are tallied? Did you even vote? How many people actually got out and voted? And why is there such a low number of people voting? Well, the reason why is because no one believes voting changes anything. That's why it's the joke, you know, if voting changed anything, they'd make it illegal. Now, things I don't believe. I don't believe that George Bush was fairly elected into office. Okay, I don't believe that happened. I believe that the election was rigged, and I believe that either through dirty tricks or whatever. Because you got to bear in mind, like, if not him, then, I mean, he's got the power to do it. He's definitely got the will, the motivation, the means. It's really not a long stretch, and there's a lot of evidence that points that way. Just like there's a lot of evidence that points to the fact that there's a lot of, you know, solid math that states how, you know, there was no plane that hit the Pentagon. Okay, there was a plane probably did. They're talking about a drone did it. But, I'm not going to get right into the whole expose right now. But, you know, how high do you have to believe that fire caused a building to fall down when no fire has ever caused a steel and concrete building to fall in the history of the world? This is insanity. Now, I know that it's easier to believe the lie than it is to believe the truth. You know, ignorance is bliss to have another mouth full of meat. But you've got to stand up and say, whoa, wait a second, something is really horribly wrong here. And everyone in America is so horribly off balance. We've got this rigged election with a psycho running the nation. And then you've got, you know, all the pharmaceutical companies cranking out the drugs. And now they've got the Lilly Pharmaceuticals is going and they've okayed for mandatory drug testing in all public schools of both school children and teachers. So great idea, because that way you really dope up the next generation as well. So we won't get any more Sean Kennedys or Noam Chomskys or Jello Biafras or Hunter S. Thompsons or any of those kind of guys. Not that I would ever, actually I shouldn't qualify. I'm on the very, very low end of that scale. By the way, I don't think of myself as like a Noam Chomsky type. But you see what I'm saying here, okay? When you medicate the living snot out of your nation, you can make them believe anything because they're high. You know, it's pretty easy to convince high people to do stuff, and this is insanity. I mean, you all know I'm right. This isn't like, you know, rocket science I'm feeding you here. All you have to do is take a big step back and go, whoa, wait a second, something's very, very screwy here. Like, hugely screwy. Maybe he got elected. Fine, okay, whatever. Maybe he got elected, but let's see the paper trail. How's your election working? And definitely, the whole concept behind these black... Who built these election boxes? Who's the company that runs these things? Who's got root on these things? We're talking about the leadership of the most powerful country. We're talking about the bomb here, okay? I mean, if the President of the United States is a psycho, the President of the United States can do pretty much what he pleases. Or at least I hope. And then we're getting into a whole new realm of conspiracy theory. But, oh my God, could you imagine? I mean, if we could just hack the vote? I mean, this is just this is insanity to think that there's such little regard for how the election is actually run. And further to that, what happened there? Oh, looks like I'm going to lose. And Kerry, like a good guy, throws in the towel to make sure that there's no, you know, crazy recount votes. No, I'm going to give up. I'm going to give up. Even though I hate you so much, and even though I made such a big show, what a great big show I made of how much I hate you and pointing my finger at you debates, Mr. President, you suck, and all the rest of it. And then a minute it's going, oh, well, I guess the better man won. Let's all shake hands and have dinner at my house. Da-na-na-na-na-na. No. Something's weird here. Okay, come on, snap out of it, America. What the hell's going on? You've got this kook in the White House, and he's killing all your kids in a war for oil. This is a bad scene. So you need to look at that. Now, as well, the whole 9/11 thing, I would like to get all my facts in a row and really do a show on that. I could probably do 5 shows on the whole, you know, what's wrong with the official story of 9/11. And everybody, again, knows I'm right. The same thing that was wrong with the Oklahoma City bombings, okay? There's no way a truck bomb could do the damage that was there. Do the math, okay? Break out the physics. The bomb can't do that. And they could just release the video footage that came from, 12 video cameras surrounding the bomb site where the bomb went off? But no, they won't release that footage. Why? Well, because there's more than one guy there? Because it wasn't just Timothy McVeigh, who, by the way, was a decorated war vet? A little weird, don't you think? Now, I'm not going to jump on board right away with all the crazy conspiracy people. I mean, I personally am not of the opinion that the British family is lizard people. David Icke, you need to give your head a shake. But I'm thinking that, yeah, okay, this dog will hunt, man. Like, there's something to this. I'm a little bit concerned with how this whole American leadership election thing is going. And in 4 more years, is ever going to be so doped up that we'll just, okay, whatever, and our rights are completely gone, and we'll all be, you know, right up with Tony Blair, and we'll all be in a nice, good little slave wage state living in our, you know, bio-dense housing, hoping the power doesn't go off and, you know, total anarchy doesn't ensue and we all turn into cannibals, which is, you know, likely if we get the kind of biodensity that some of these companies are talking about. Now, this next story makes me think very seriously that the role of the cyberpunk / WOG / rant radio fan / intelligent individual / whatever, the role of that person in society should be to educate people, really, because who's actually educating people? Yeah, okay, there's lots of information, so-called information, more like infotainment, coming through, you know, the television, the radio, all the rest of it. But how about actually educating people about the history of things, about, you know, what was called trivia? You know, they make information and the knowledge of the past as trivia now. And, you know, we have the whole Cliff Clavin persona, where people who know things are somehow considered to be dumb or, you know, quirky in some funny way, you know, as they sit at the end of the bar constantly rotting their brain. Well, this is all kind of coming home to roost now. All this ignorance and hatred which is being spewed into America, all the terrorism fear. There was a massive ignorance backlash against Muslims. Now, Islam, I don't, believe it or not, true Islam is one of the most tolerant of the world's religions. Okay? Ignorance, the ignorance I remember watching 9/11, okay? The towers fall, and they got Tom Clancy on the air. I don't know who else saw that. But they got Tom on there, and they were asking him, said, Mr. Clancy, blah, blah, blah. I guess they were trying to get somebody on the air, and they wound up getting Tom Clancy, which is kind of funny. They got a fiction author on the air. Because the guy, Tom Clancy, a lot of people don't know. They think he's some kind of ex-FBI, CIA thing. No, the guy was an insurance salesman. Okay, he was an insurance salesman who wrote a book and got picked up by the naval press, and Reagan mentioned his name, and boom, the guy's a household name. Okay, but when he was on in 9/11, he said, okay, you need to understand that Muslims are not to blame for this. This is a few radicals. This isn't a racial thing. And there's been this, you know, kind of attempt not to make it a racial thing. They make it a terrorist thing. They're going with extremists. But unfortunately, they haven't done a good enough job. And now all Muslims are becoming victims of, you know, the propaganda brush that the Homeland Security Organization is running around and painting, you know, Hitler mustaches on every, you know, terrorist and everyone who even looks Muslim, everyone with a Muslim name, anyone named Mohammed, you know, is not really so comfortable in the airports anymore. And this isn't just... This isn't just a myth. A Cornell University news release has come up with a report that states that about 27% of respondents to polls say that all Muslim Americans should be required to register their location with federal government, and 26 said they think that mosques should be closely monitored by U.S. law enforcement agencies. Okay, let's not call them mosques. Let's just call them churches, okay? So churches should be closely monitored by U.S. law enforcement agencies. About 22% said federal government should profile citizens as potential threats based on the fact that they are Muslim or have Middle Eastern heritage. Now, all this is in less than 30%, okay? So 3 out of every 10 people is a psycho redneck. All right, that's fine. But all in all, about 44% of the people they polled said that they believe some curtailment of civil liberties is necessary for Muslim Americans. Okay, 44% of those polled said they believe that some curtailment of civil liberties is necessary for Muslim Americans. Now, I'll be the first one to stand up and say, yeah, I think Louis Farrakhan is a nut, okay? I think that the Nation of Islam in America is probably the one of the scariest terrorist groups I've seen. I mean, their hatred and what that guy's spouted as anti-white propaganda is just staggeringly psycho. I mean, he just listen to the guy sometime, okay? He's a kind of a scary dude. But I don't think that all Muslims are like that. I know some people who are Muslim, and I don't I feel the same way about Muslims as I do about Christians and as I do about just about all the other crazy religions. If you want to worship a dead guy on a stick, that's cool. All right, that's fine. You go bow to this, dead guy on a stick. Good for you. You want to, go pray to this rock and kiss a lock and all this kind of jazz and do all that jazz. I mean, that's cool. Rocks are cool. I like rocks. If you get something out of that, that's your freedom. Okay, you're free to do that. Okay, but don't tell me that rock is God or that it's where God touched the earth or whatever. And don't tell me the dead guy on the stick is saving lives because I like to know where the hell he was. On this last little gig in the Southeast Asia there, not so cool, killing all the kids, anyone who sends me psycho-religious mail, I'm not into it, all right, because believe you me, I stopped arguing religious theology. Arguing religious theology is a lot, especially with, people of that religion, is a lot like wrestling a pig. After half an hour, you're both muddy and you realize that the pig likes it. I just don't bother with that, but I personally think that these religions that are not based in actual thought and concept, they just base it on ancient writings. Why don't we just go, if you're going to base it on those ancient writings and he who hath the most ancient writings win, then I'm all cool with becoming shamanic and we'll follow cave drawings, okay? So let's go right back to core. Let's go down and talk to the Aborigines, find out what they believe, They're saying, oh, eat these mushrooms and you'll see God. I'm all for it. Let's go check it out. Maybe it's true. Maybe we'll do that in patrolling. Sounds like a good idea to me. But don't come to me espousing your shit, okay? I'm not interested in your psycho backwoods Stone Age bullshit, okay? I'm really not. But anyway, that said, okay, it's your right to believe that. You want to be Rastafarian and smoke a big fatty just before you get up in the morning? That's fine. That's your religion. You can do that. If you want to walk around with samurai swords on your back because you're Shinto Zen samurai guy, that's cool too. You want to walk around with a great big cross and, because of, some dead carpenter, that's okay. I'm all for that. Go ahead. Head to Mecca once in your lifetime. Make it over there. Do a bunch of laps around a big rock, kiss a lock, and away you go. Sounds good to me. But I'm not for that. I'm not really thinking that's a great, it's not my idea of a vacation. But I think these people should be allowed to do that. And I definitely don't think that you should take, this is blatant racism. Some people say it's not racism because being Muslims are a religion. Yeah, well, I'm a white guy. And there's, generally when I say Muslim to you, you don't think white guy. You think someone from the Middle East, okay? Some people even think that Muslims wear turbans. I mean, anyone who's of, Indian, Middle Eastern descent, Muslim, geez, and if you got a name like Mohammed, it's all over but the crying, baby. That's just, way out of control. I think that really the cyberpunk culture, what we do is we educate people as to what the internet's all about. Everybody has that guy, that guy who got you online, that guy who encouraged you to go out and, do this stuff. The dude who you went over and you got all the games from and you learned how to burn first and then you're out there. Okay, we were all like, in a way, evangelize. Everyone was, well, that's why it was called Wired, and everybody wanted to wire everyone else and get their grandmas online and get their friends online. We all had to be online. That was the fire. That was the excitement of the internet, okay? Well, now that has changed because more and more people are online, but of course there's so much disinformation and infotainment and bullshit coming across to people. You know, AOL is the internet. No, actually it's not. We need to make sure that people become educated. We need to pass this information on. That's why, incidentally, you're allowed to distribute this news broadcast any way you see fit. That's why we're doing that, is for information. And we need to make sure that people understand that if they're Muslim, that's cool, okay? Let's kill the fear, man. Kill the fear, because we don't need it. We don't need to be afraid of our Muslim neighbors. Go down to a mosque. Go down to a mosque. Why don't you swing by a mosque and take a look at what's going on in there? I promise you they won't shoot you. You know? I mean, yeah, I'd be tripped out about going to a mosque if I wasn't who I was. You know, if I've never been to a mosque before. But you just go in there and say, you know what? I think you guys, I hear a lot of stuff about Muslims and I don't know anything about it. And I just wanted to come down and check. I'm not interested in your bullshit. I'm not interested in, you know, praying to rocks or nothing like that. I just want to come down and meet some Muslims and see what's going on, you know, and see if you guys really do have, you know, atomic bombs stashed here or whatever. And make your own call. Check out whether or not you want the FBI, you know, checking out these people. You know, I'm not a big fan of religious police. As a matter of fact, no, it's not that I'm not a fan of religious police. Let's change that. I utterly and totally despise and hate religious police. The whole concept of religious police is a lomshavak, which I believe is a Russian word meaning makes my head hurt. The lomshavak of religious police is beginning to, of course, affect America. Now, everyone knows that I swear, because my name is, after all, Sean Kennedy, the fucking man. Okay, so I think that swearing is, like any slang, is a more efficient means of communication. I can either, you know, do a long and involved explanation about how I had to move, you know, 27 books and a whole bunch of my clothing, as well as all my household anemones, dog food, and everything else, or I can say, yeah, I had a lot of problems moving my shit. And you understand what I'm talking about, even though I put out less words. Now, we can all get into a big, huge debate over whether swearing is good or bad or all the rest of it, but you cannot get away from the fact that the whole fact that swearing, even being illegal or wrong, it's a word. I thought that the whole concept of a bad word is very medieval, actually. It's like, Jehovah, you know? I mean, come on now. They're words. But, you know, you get Motley Crue on Tommy Lee from Motley Crue and Vince Neil. And let's see here, what did they say? When Motley Crue's Vince Neil wished bandmate Tommy Lee a Happy New Year live on NBC, he couldn't resist inserting profanity. Okay, it's Motley Crue, guys. They probably communicate more with profanity than they do with regular words. And now the FCC is involved. The Federal Communications Commission, dun, 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 has received complaints about New Year's Eve's Tonight Show and is beginning a preliminary probe, a spokeswoman said Tuesday, but it's likely little will come of it. Oh, geez, well, it made the news, didn't it? Motley Crue was performing shortly after midnight when Neil turned to Lee and said, "Happy fucking New Year, Tommy!" My God, hang that man from the rafters. It was an off-the-cuff remark, not done intentionally to test broadcast rules. Okay, I would put it to you that Neil hasn't done anything intentional probably in 10 years, okay? But anyway, I'm pretty sure that he probably doesn't even remember making the remark. But anyhow, and I think it's great he did, because it shows the guy really doesn't give a shit about, you know, what anybody thinks whatsoever. So I salute the dude, you know, really. He'd be a good presidential candidate. Could you imagine that? Holy crap. It was an off-the-cuff remark. Not done intentionally. Wow, I can't believe that even would even be suggested, that Motley Crue would, you know, be involved in this massive plot to, you know, test the FCC. Said a spokeswoman from the band who asked not to be identified. So you got a paranoid spokeswoman for Motley Crue. What kind of only Motley Crue would hire a spokeswoman that would not ask to be identified. You know, isn't that the whole point of being a spokeswoman? Neither Motley Crue nor NBC had any other comment on Tuesday. It's Motley Crue. Okay. Shout at the Devil. Girls, Girls, Girls. Kickstart My Heart. Motley Crue. Okay, and you're jacking these guys because they swore on stage. What did you think they were going to do? That's why Ozzy's such a big hit on all the major networks and stuff like that, because he would have got up on stage, looked at the crowd, and went, and everybody would have like, yeah, because no one would understand actually what he said. It's like trying to figure out the words to Louie Louie. It's just not going to happen. These are all examples of how the government is targeting not groups of people, but inappropriate behavior. This is scary. Now check this out. Watch for the watch. An advisory issued Monday by the Department of Homeland Security, I love these guys, and the FBI urges the Transportation Security Administration to have airport screeners keep an eye out for wristwatches containing cigarette lighters or altimeters. Okay, I have never in my gadget hunting history ever come across a watch that has a cigarette lighter in it. If you know where one is, send me the link, newsreel@rantradio.com, because baby, I will buy one. The notice, recent intelligence suggests Al-Qaeda has expressed interest in obtaining wristwatches with a hidden butane lighter function and a Casio watches with an altimeter function. Okay, well, Casio watches have been used extensively by Al-Qaeda and associated organizations as timers for improvised explosive device. Yeah, there's currently no law against carrying an altimeter or a lighter onto a plane. The items cannot be confiscated, but one official said Monday that if the watches are spotted, screeners would likely engage in further checking on the passenger. Have you seen the airport screeners? Okay, they're not really the smartest, people on the planet. These people are not the sharpest knives on the drawer, okay? Now, if I cross, I've got a wrist-top computer when I fly to Vegas, when I fly to Vegas and when I go to New York. What do you want to bet that I'm probably going to get taken and given a rubber glove treatment in a stairwell somewhere, and, you'll be able to download that for your viewing enjoyment. I've never heard of a lighter in a wristwatch, and believe me, I have a wristwatch fetish. I am to watches what Emil DeMarcos is to shoes, so I am too sorry that I've never heard of a lighter in a watch. And maybe they're trying to make this story more scary than it is. That's just a trippy. If anyone knows of a lighter in a watch, you want to get that to me? I'd really love to see us. And now, finally, the badass of the day. I love this guy. This guy's my favorite dude ever. Check this out. This is the definition of what tough is. If I wanted to emulate a dude, I'd love to be like this guy. Check it out. 2 days after a tsunami thrashed the island. This is an island off the coast of Southeast Asia here. And this island, 2 days after that same tsunami that's killing everybody, thrashed an island where his ancestors have lived for tens of thousands of years. A lone tribesman stood naked on a beach and looked up at a hovering Coast Guard helicopter. Then this guy, nude, apparently, except for his weapons, takes out his bow and shot an arrow towards the rescue chopper. This was a signal of the Sentinelese, that's the name of this tribe, have sent out to the world for a millennia. Now, that is a badass tribe. I'm the Sentinelese. They want to be left alone. Isolated from the rest of the world, the tribesmen needed to learn nature's sights, sounds, and smells to survive. Government officials and anthropologists believe the ancient knowledge of movement of the wind, sea, and birds may have saved the 5 indigenous tribes on the Indian archipelago. Archipelago of Andaman and Nicobar Islands from the tsunami that hit Asian coastline December 26. They can smell the wind. They can gauge depth of the sea with the sound of their oars. They have a sixth sense, which we don't possess, says Ayesh Roy, a local environmentalist and lawyer who has called on the courts to protect these tribes by preventing their contact with the outside world. So you mean to tell me that apparently a bunch of Stone Age dudes with no tech whatsoever managed to figure out that a tsunami was coming and saved all their tribes. Nobody died on this island when, hundreds of thousands of other people died. And not only that, if these guys have no contact with the outside world, the dude didn't know what the helicopter was. That is a badass warrior right there. Anybody who would stand up and sees this giant whirling, Coast Guard, like gunship-style helicopter coming in, and what does he do? He cranks around off at the helicopter. Man, hats off to you, dude. Fuck not with the Sentinelese. That's what I got for you today, but don't worry. I'll be back tomorrow to make sure that you get the information you need to stay alive. This is a free broadcast. You are free to distribute it any way you see fit. You can remix it, do what you want with it. And this broadcast has been made possible by the generous donations of Adam, Keith, Malcolm, Peter, the other Peter, Michael, Timor, Aaron, Greg, SB, Richard, WebLife, Matt, Azer, Evan, Drake, Brian, Ashton, David, Austin, Jonathan, Adam, Jonathan, Trevor, Mark, Art, Matthew, Kyle, Justin, and Matthew. Also, I would encourage you, don't forget, if you've got anything you want advice on, make sure you send me an email at newsreel, and I will answer your email on the air in my segment of the show called Sort Yourself Out. Just make sure you put in their advice or sort yourself out inside the subject header so I can keep track of that. Special thanks to Transix and Wagga War for their assistance in gathering data, and all of you that have sent me email. Please, if you've got any sensitive data and you want to, you know, get it out, if you want to come across pertinent stories, or you've got information of something that you've worked on personally, I will I'll listen to you. Okay, I'm ready to believe you. If no one else can believe you, I will do that. Send me some information to newsreal at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, make sure you pick up the new album from The Prodigy, appropriately named for all of us, always outnumbered, never outgunned. Yeah, baby. Until tomorrow, that's what server said. End of line.
Yo, what's up? This is a PESA, Public Enemy Service Announcement, because I feel this is something that we got to say. You see, they're trying to make hardcore rap disappear, trying to make it final for the vinyl, saying that it's time for the wax to relax. Black radio, yes, I said black radio, putting most of us to sleep in the 90s with too many, I said too many, slow jams. And I want to know, where's the beats for the mind and for the feet? Not the songs that's putting me to sleep. You see, they're trying to make hardcore rap disappear by making the rap DJs obsolete. Right, Kenny K?
You know it, G.
My man Kenny K from Tampa. By making the rap DJs obsolete while program and music directors get rich with kickbacks and phony seminars. You record companies out there throw rap on the wall, still know very little about it, and figure what sticks is it, and what don't won't be it. And the government. Oh, yes, the government. They want hardcore to vanish. Ice-T's Cop Killer wasn't even a rap record. But you see, Ice-T is a rapper extraordinaire. And here in America, it don't matter. Rap is synonymous with black. And even our own don't realize that rap is even blacker than themselves. And to the whites who consider themselves establishment, they fear rap is the beginning of cultural overthrow in their very own households between themselves and their kids. Uh-oh. And the president. The good old president, your president, want to see hardcore go ghost. Cuban soldier are proof that it raises the roof with the truth. And the new world order wants to see hardcore go the way of the dinosaur. A sticker here, a sticker there. And now we wear the sticker like a badge. Now what? Some want to see us sing, because when you sing, you can't get to the point quick enough. And the hardcore points are sharp and blow the whole joint up. Others want to see the hardcore dance. And dancing is involved, but not when the problem got to get solved. Insurance companies in the venues and buildings and cities, they treat us like thieves. But let me tell you, I'm not a thief, just because I spell relief, H-A-R-D, roar to the core and we'll never die. If it ain't us, it's somebody else they want to kill. Hardcore will never die. Hard, it's not a matter of skills, but a battle of wills. Remember that.